And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so just prepare to... It'll
be great.
It'll be perfect.
Yeah. Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm going to be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That
train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to... just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
All right. I'm starting.
Okay.
Three. Oh, we did that. Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is May 1st, 2016, and this is episode 182, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're covering games 5, 6, and 7 of the round 1 series against the Toronto Raptors. Joining me are two of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Been a huge week in Indianapolis sports. The Colts drafted some people. And, of course, the big headline, Indiana Fever opening up the preseason with a big win over the Dallas something swing. Is that a thing?
Flight, baby?
Stars?
Flight.
Okay.
Is it flight?
That sounds good. Not much else happened, though, so.
Nope.
Yeah.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks in the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? I'm just really glad to be with you guys, because there's nowhere else I'd rather be at this time.
I do want to give a shout-out to... The bartender made me a drink last night, and it was wonderful. What was that called?
It's called the Queen in the Clouds.
Queen in the Clouds. It was delicious. It was officially tasty to my palate.
Hey, do what I can, buddy.
Tonight, well, we just watched Game 7. I'm drinking Tecate. I don't want anything that even from a country that even touches Canada right now.
It's still part of NAFTA.
You should
get on European, I think.
But not
English, because they're part of the Commonwealth.
Bringing up old shit.
Hey, the Queen is on their money. This is truth.
Just saying. What are you drinking out east, JT?
Well, I'm drinking water now, but I just finished off a Rogue Brewery cold brew IPA. Which is an IPA blended with cold brew coffee.
Ooh.
Yeah. So this was either really a smart move or an idiotic move.
It's pretty late.
Yeah. Well, I started drinking, like, at game time, at tip-off, so.
Okay.
But it's good. I didn't realize it was a coffee beer until I opened the bottle. And then I was like, oh, I don't really like coffee beers. There you have it.
Hopefully the balance between caffeine and upper and downer will treat you right. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
JC, what are you drinking downtown?
Shout out to my parents who I watched the game with. Had a full fridge of Miller High Life for me. So I've been drinking the champagne and came home and cracked myself another champagne. The Miller High Life.
Ooh, Miller High Life. Sexy.
We want to start this show. I think we're basically just going to talk about the end of the series here. first game we want to talk about. Pacers go to Toronto for game 5. It's Tuesday, April 26th. Tell you what, man, I was super happy going into the fourth quarter. They had 90 points, the Pacers did. And I mean, it's rare to see that from the Pacers. They were playing so well, just whipping the ball side to side, assisting essentially every basket. It was amazing. I thought there was a little bit of shady move. I thought, I don't know what you guys think about this. Kyle Lowry kind of locked up PG that game. It looked to me like he was trying to hurt him. I did not think that was very cool. But the end of the game, Pacers allow a 23-2 run in the fourth quarter. And it ends up on the bad guys win, 102-99. Solomon Hill takes a shot at the three at the buzzer. And it's just a split second too late. They had to review it. Call on the floor was no good. It was upheld. I think it was the right call. But, man, they just collapsed in the fourth quarter. PG off the floor. Just what a bummer. We know game 6 is coming back to Indy. We're going to finish it off right there. But they just collapsed. What were you guys thinking after this game?
Yeah, this game was super draining. I mean, the Pacers played fantastic in Game 4, which we talked about last week, and then came into Game 5, and like you said, Joey, the first three quarters were just awesome. Some of the best basketball this team had played all year. Like, the ball was moving around the perimeter, people were trusting the pass, they were, you know, hitting three-pointers like crazy. Which this team always, when they're good, they do that. And then had a 17-point lead at some point in the third quarter, and then just slowly bilk that away or whatever. You got to give Toronto some credit. I thought that they did a great job, and that crowd actually did an excellent job, I think, of stepping up the intensity. They made life harder for the Pacers on the offensive end. And then the crowd got into it, and freaking Nathan Powell got a big dunk to tie it. And
it's Norman Powell, right?
Yeah, it's Norman Powell.
Okay, good. I can't remember anymore. he is a Canada's favorite player now, though. I mean, he came in that that unit. They played a small ball. The kid is what, 6'4"? He's playing power for them in that small ball lineup. Just changed the dynamic of that game.
Well, and the Pacers had a lineup on the floor, which they trotted out way too many minutes in this series for my liking, of Ty Lawson, Stuckey, CJ Miles, Solomon Hill, and either Jan Mahimi or Miles Turner, which just was atrocious. That unit couldn't get anything done in this game. Definitely not in that fourth quarter, and certainly not in the first half either. I'm not sure why Vogel stuck with that lineup. That was sort of the story afterwards, but regardless, just not a good showing.
Well, do you figure, as a coach, I've got a 17-point lead. Maybe I can get my stars some more rest, and you ride it longer than you should. I mean, we were up 7, I think. Is that right? When he brought Paul George back in? At the 7 minute mark, and by then they already had the momentum, and it was too late.
Yeah, I thought he waited 1 minute too long.
Yep.
Yeah, as I was watching it at home myself, you get a timeout basically after the 9 minute mark. I think the Pacers called a timeout with about 8.5 minutes, and I really thought that he was going to bring Paul George out at that point, and he didn't. And by the time he did, it was a little bit too late. For Paul George, who had a fantastic game in this game, scored 39 points, 37 of those in the first three quarters.
Yeah.
Was just a dominant offensive force. He played like a super duper star in this game, and limited DeRozan on the other side. Oh, no, DeRozan had a
really good 34. Yeah, that's how they. Yeah, that's how they won this game, because he was playing well. But, Joey, you mentioned that Solomon Hill takes this last shot. Paul George has the ball and has a fantastic pass between a double team to get the ball to Solomon Hill for the shot. It just came a little bit too late. But he was reading the floor so well, reading the game so well, just did everything right. Unfortunately, Drake decided to say that Paul George was afraid of the moment and did some memes and stuff afterwards, which was stupid because Paul George made the right basketball play and almost got a tie to go into overtime there.
I thought the other thing that was great about this game was George Hill played fantastic. 15 points in this game, but really made a lot of key shots when we needed them. I thought maybe he went a little bit silent down the stretch, but...
So did everyone. So
so did everyone. So,
I had to work during this game, and so I came home, and knew I had to put myself through this game, and watched the first three quarters, and then fell asleep before the fourth quarter started, and so I felt really good when I fell asleep, and I was like, all right, I need to watch this game again and get the whole thing. So the next night, I came home and watched the whole game and fell asleep in the fourth quarter. So I have never seen the collapse, which is great. I've read about it. I've watched the final shot, you know, on YouTube and whatnot. But as far as I'm concerned, we won this game handily. I think it's my body protecting myself, maybe, because out of two attempts to watch the game, I've not watched the fourth quarter.
Just don't put this game on while you're in a car, while you're driving.
Why is that?
You fall asleep. You're a danger to yourself and others.
That's true. That's true.
We'll get a link in the show notes. Zach Lowe did an emergency podcast the next morning. I think it was called What the Hell Happened in Toronto Last Night. And, yeah, a lot of discussion about Vogel's lineup choices.
Zach Lowe's been talking about this all year, actually, that without Ellis, Hill, or PG on the floor, our team is terrible. You have to have one of those guys on the floor at all times, and we've not done that. We've gone through large stretches of each game throughout the season without those guys on the floor. And the fact that we're still doing the playoffs has reared its ugly head.
Yeah, and frankly, we make fun and deride other coaches for not being smart enough to figure that out, and we should have been giving Vogel more shit for that all year, basically. I mean, he's a really damn good coach, and it doesn't make any sense that it took him until game 6 of the first round of the playoffs to figure that out. It's super frustrating, you know, especially now that we have know the result of this series. To waste this effort by Paul George and the fact that you had a chance to win in this series is super disappointing. It's hard to beat a team 4 times, let alone 5 times in a 7-game series. Yeah. And it's hard to beat a team 3 times on their home court, which is essentially what the Pacers had to try to do in this series and came up short.
Yeah. I guess next one, if you guys are done with Game 5. Game 6, back in Indiana, Friday night, April 29th. Pacers win this one big. It's 101-83. This is just a good old-fashioned stomping by the Pacers. And really, it didn't start till the second half. At third quarter, the Pacers put up 31 points, hold the Raptors to 20. They really went in down four at halftime and really just picked it up in the second half, 31 and 30, you know, 61 points in the second half, and just put it away, which was big. You know, this is send it to game 7. Paul George had a good game, 21 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. But really, you know, it was a good balanced effort. Miles Turner had a good game. Really just limited Toronto across the board. You know, their starters did not play well. You know, Damari Carroll, Kyle Lowry, both, you know, subpar nights, 15 points and 10 points for Lowry. I thought the Pacers did a great job and sent this one back to Toronto.
This took a lot of guts, I thought. I mean, you know, down 4 at half, you know, I had to watch this game again after work, I stayed awake for this whole one because this was super fun. I was working. I was checking the score. We were down 4 at half, and I thought, okay, you know, we're going to get beat here. And then the cook, one of my cooks comes out and says, we're up 30. And I was like, what are you talking about? That's not possible. We were just down four like 20 minutes ago. This was a fantastic response out of halftime. I don't know. They said there was no win it for the Gipper speech at halftime. Everybody just realized they wanted to play another game. This was really, really fantastic to come out with your back against the wall and win the second half like this.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I think that especially considering how poorly the Pacers played in the first half. I mean, they came out and were down 20-8 before, you know, you could crack your first beer in this game. And to play that poorly and then grind their way to being down four at halftime, I thought was the critical piece of this game. Was that, you know, I thought they did a great job of playing defense and just playing every possession. You know, they did this thing where they do the mic'd up with the coaches, and they went to the Frank Vogel, and he was just saying, guys, it's just get stop after stop after stop after stop. That's how we're going to win this game. Which is true, which is the identity of this team, and that's what they went out and did. And they really locked down defensively. They held Toronto to 37% shooting on the night, and then did work on the glass. This was, I think, the only game in the series where we actually out-rebounded Toronto 44-40 in this game, which is incredible considering the way the rest of this series went. And then Paul George, while he didn't have a fantastic offensive night, this was his worst outing of the series. Offensively, he shut DeRozan down. DeRozan had 8 points in this game and only got to the line two times, which was critical for the Pacers.
Yeah. Well, and the rest of the team stepped up. I mean, this is a great George Hill game. You know, I mean, you guys had a conversation on the pod I missed about who needs to step up and who's going to be the difference maker on this team. And you know, I was just screaming, you know, at the radio. It's not radio. What is it? It's a probably my cell phone. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Sure. And I was just like, it's George Hill. George Hill is the answer. This is the guy that's got the talent. He's the X factor, and he was in this game, I thought. He had a fantastic game. A ton of floaters in the lane, hitting that corner three, playing that precision, not turning over the ball, doing the things that he does really well. I thought he was great in this game.
Yeah, and he was being aggressive, George Hill. Which is, when he's that, he's a super-duper contributor to this team. He does that 53% of the time.
So it was very specific.
It's like slightly more than half the time, but not enough that you would like write home about it.
Yeah, this is just a solid win all around. This gave me hope. You know, going into game seven, I said out of all the teams that we could be playing in the playoffs, I'm least scared to play game seven in Toronto. Those fans they're ready and sort of expecting their team to lose. They know they have a good team, but their history shows them that they've been rooting for losers for many of these years. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the literal sense where they lose, you know, they seem like good people, upstanding citizens, but they tend to lose in the playoffs, and their fans know it.
Fans get conditioned. They cheer really hard and they're really excited, but once things start to go awry, they can clamp up real fast. And this is a chance to put away this team if you can take the crowd out of it. And that's how I felt going into game seven. You know, if you can get this crowd nervous, that energy is going to infect the players.
Mm-hmm. So game seven, we just finished watching it. Today is Sunday, May 1st. Game was on TNT, 8 p.m. We just finished up. Pacers lose 89-84. Season's over. Raptors win the series 4-3. They are moving on to face the Miami Heat.
Who we could have beat, by the way.
Oh, it was a lock. Lock.
I don't know about that.
I was afraid of the Hornets. The Hornets have our number, but man, I just hate Miami. Screw those guys.
You know, this game, Paul George was big, played 46 minutes this time. You know, just took 2 minutes off, I think, early. Is it in the first quarter? I think I picked up two fouls just 2 minutes. But he had a great game. Very aggressive. And 12, you know, rebounded hard. Like, he gets 12 rebounds, a couple of these towards the end of the game, you know, you weren't going to get from him. He was taking those away. But, this game to me was, you know, we were looking before we started recording, we started looking at some of the stats here. And the Pacers, you know, they outshot the Raptors, like, pretty handily, like, percentage-wise. But it was the rebounds. Like, that was just such a huge part of it. You know, very few second-chance points. You know, and again, it was me and my wife screaming at Valanciunas and Bismack Biyombo because they just kept ripping down O-boards. And actually, Catherine, every time the Toronto would take a shot, Catherine was tensing up. I looked at her. She'd, like, tense up because she just thought they were going to get an extended possession every time. Mm-hmm. And it was happening, you know? And I think that's what it was.
Well, it certainly was. They took 16 more shots than we did on the game.
How many O-boards did they have?
18 offensive rebounds.
Yeah, yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, this game was brutal. I mean, we got off to a horrible start. We had three turnovers in our first three possessions.
Yep.
Shot pretty horribly in the first quarter, at least. We shot pretty well in the first quarter, sorry. Hung in it, I thought, in the first half. We're down sort of
six
the entire time. It seemed like we couldn't ever quite make a run. Paul George was playing fantastic. He looked like a super duper star.
He hit his first four shots, maybe something like that. I mean, just silky smooth.
Yeah. Then just tossed in a little 360 dunk.
That was beautiful.
I think he loves getting the booze, honestly.
Yeah.
I thought the second half, the critical period of time to me, was the beginning of the second half. The first 4 minutes of the third quarter.
Yep.
We came out like we were still standing in line waiting to get a hot dog. It was insane. Like, couldn't shoot the ball, turned it over a bunch, and then all of a sudden you're down 12 to this team that now has the crowd engaged completely. And it really looked like it was going to completely fall apart. Lots of credit to this team for fighting back in the fourth quarter. I mean, like you said, Joey, Paul George was just on the floor the whole time. He was looking pretty gassed. All the guys were looking pretty gassed. I mean, basically it was the five starters in Solomon Hill played like 90% of the minutes in this game. Climbed back into the game, got it to within three on a couple occasions, but just couldn't quite make the right plays. And got zero help from the referees down the stretch.
Well, yeah, that's definitely true. But, I mean, I actually turned to my parents and I was like, I don't know what they did at halftime. Because they don't even look like they know what's going on. Like, they look like, I mean, they're completely confused. People were looking the wrong way on defense. People weren't, they didn't know how to shoot basketball, how to hold a basketball. Like, it was weird. Like, I don't know what was said or what happened in that locker room, but they came out completely unready. And that's where the game was lost. You're right. I mean, boom, it happened. Also, I thought there were stretches in which I said, we need to get Paul George back on the floor. And he was on the floor. Like, we, you know, I don't know if, he disappeared. He disappeared for for a stretch at the end of the second quarter and for, you know, a large part of the third quarter. And it could be need to rest on the court because he was playing all 46. But we weren't passing him the ball. Like, you know, we weren't making him a ball handler. We weren't letting him draw the defense or anything. You know, we were just there wasn't a lot of passing. I don't know what our assist numbers but we didn't share the ball well.
That's right. I thought that the ball movement was horrible in this game. Ball and player movement were not good in this game, especially in comparison to game six.
In the first quarter, I was like, why? No one's moving. There's a lot of standing around. And what was so impressive of game six, I thought, and game five, honestly, is how well we were moving off the ball. And this is an elimination game, and we came out standing around. Now, we hung in there in the first quarter, but not for good offensive movement, and clearly not for rebounding.
Yeah, I mean, it was the three-point shot that kept us in the game, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And we hit all of ours in the first – everyone we took in the first quarter. But then I actually – how many three-pointers did we take for the rest of the game? Like, we didn't –
not that many. We only ended up with 19 total takes.
Okay. The other frustration for me was with about 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, we decided to just shut them down. We just decided, okay, we're going to guard them at, when they hit the half-court line, and they're not going to get into their offense until 4 seconds left. And we and that's how we got back in this game.
It was exactly what happened to you.
Yeah, it worked. It totally worked.
Well, and Toronto was kind of complicit in that plan.
Well, that's fair enough. But my point is, if we were one of the top defensive teams in the league, we were like the third best in taking away three-pointers. We're, you know, all of the advanced stats say that we're a good defensive team. When we want to shut teams down, we can. And we decided to do it with 7 minutes left, down 16. You know, and it's if we had decided to do that, say, at the start of the third quarter, I think this game could have been ours because we totally got ourselves back in this game. We took them out of what they were trying to do. And we made that crowd nervous there down the stretch.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And there was a final push there because of that defense and because of some shot making. Solomon, my parents have never used the rewind button on their DVR ever. They didn't know how it worked. I had to show them how to do it. I had to rewatch the Solomon Hill dunk. I don't even know how he did it. It was
that was
freaking
so
amazing. Took so many hits and just. You know, and I thought, oh, here we go. This is it.
And dropped DeRozan in the process.
Mm-hmm. There were bodies spilling everywhere. It was great. But really, the moment for me was Paul George steals the ball. Would put us down three if he'd scored there.
Oh, yeah. The steal at half court.
I think
he
might have cut it to one or something if he would have scored that. I forget. It was either three or five.
I felt like that was momentum turning. And then, you know, Lowry makes a great play. I think we're only down three. Mm-hmm. And Lowry makes a great play. Whole country on his back. He's played terribly all series. You know, good for him.
I thought he had two of those drives down the stretch, actually. There's one earlier, maybe at the 5 minute mark or something. And then that one down in the last 2 minutes that I thought were incredible because he played like trash this
game. Yeah, exactly. And so good for him. And, you know, as a Pacer fan, we shouldn't have allowed him to be in that position to make that heroic play. Like, we should have already been winning this game. We got, I thought, out-hustled most of this game. We got pushed around. We didn't play well. We were the ones who were tight and tense, even though they should have been the ones who were, because they had all the pressure on them. I don't know what happened here. It's a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, to me, the two glaring things were, first of all, I thought we just ran out of gas. I think it's hard to win a game with six guys, which is essentially what we had. I mean, Stuckey played 15 minutes and actually contributed quite well, I thought. But you get nothing out of Ty Lawson. Ty Lawson plays 5 minutes and does, even though I thought he was aggressive, didn't really contribute a bunch. And CJ Miles literally is a ghost. Like, what did that dude do this whole season?
How literally?
Okay. No, like, in the figurative sense. Okay. Literally.
That's what literally means.
It means the modern definition of literally.
Yeah, it means figuratively.
Yeah, and then Paul George, I thought, just ran out of, like, there was one play where we force a turnover and are starting to go in semi-transition, and Paul George just fumbles the ball out of bounds, was like looking at a pass ahead and lost it, and it was sort of an epitome of the game. The other thing that I thought was huge was Miles Turner was blinded by the brightness of the Game 7 lights. Like, that dude did not look, for the first time this series, and credit him, he's a rookie, he's been amazing the whole series, but for the first time, he looked really like, oh boy.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on, and I have to contribute, and okay, I'm going to shoot this jump shot, and oh boy, I missed that by 2 feet, and...
Yeah.
I mean, he still made some contributions defensively.
Yeah, he had some good block shots, but I in my notes, it was rookie jitters really hurt us because, you know, we were playing him some big minutes, particularly in the first half. He didn't really play in the fourth. I think Vogel saw what we saw, that this was too much for him. But, you know, he hit a jumper late, and I thought, well, okay, what I like about the rookie is that he keeps shooting because, man, most of his early shots just were way off.
Well, yeah, and he was kind of forcing it a little bit too, and just not, yeah. I mean, it's to be expected. You know, when you're going to rely on a rookie, a 20-year-old, in under that pressure situation, your team is not in the greatest position.
I'm not mad at Miles Turner at all. But
no, not at all. Not at all. And I think this will be great for his growth process, too. I mean, you got to get knocked down in order to build back up. But I thought those two things were pretty critical for the Pacers not being able to get it done at some level.
I think we should probably mention, you know, really with really toward in the last minute of the game, I don't know, but 10, 20 seconds left. Mm-hmm. Paul George driving to the basket. We're really just trying to go down by one. Alley-oop to Jan. Jan gets pushed in the back by DeRozan.
Severely, obviously.
It's pretty. Yeah. I'm assuming the league is going to say tomorrow when they do the 2-minute report that it should have been a foul. It was a shooting foul. And it doesn't matter. The game is over.
Yeah, I mean, totally. It was a shitty call, or shitty non-call, I guess. And in fact, shout out to the referees for sending us to the line a grand total of 8 times in this game.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, part of that was the Pacers were completely non-aggressive. I think in the first half, the Pacers had like 8 points in the paint or something like that, which is insane, absurdly low. But a lot of swallowed whistles.
Well, and
it happened on both ends of the floor.
Well, we also talked about that the Paul George steal where he goes to the basket, he gets called for the chicken wing offensive foul. And you know, if you're gonna swallow the whistle, why call that one? I don't know. Yep. It was just a weird. I felt like the refs got caught up in that crowd a little bit, but that's the nature of it. If you're going to go on the road in a game 7,
you've got the regular season.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you've got to outplay the team by a lot to outplay the refs as well.
That's right.
You know, and we didn't do that here at all.
No, I mean, that wasn't the difference of the game. Rebounding was the difference of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. That would have been nice. You know, of course, it was, you know, right at the end, a very pivotal time. But, you know, that's... You know, the rebounding was a much bigger issue.
Yeah, rebounding and playing while asleep during the first 5 minutes of the third quarter.
Sure, and sharing the basketball and off ball movement and just, they weren't. You know, they talked about going into game 7 and how excited they were about it and how this is a great opportunity and they feel like they're ready, and they didn't come out like they were that ready. Like, I mean, you know, we hit some threes in the first half to keep us in this, but. You know, and then we played really solid defense and didn't give up in the fourth quarter to make it interesting. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, like, we got outplayed, out-hustled, and everybody, you know, and you're right. You know, the people that need to contribute, like a C.J. Miles, was a non-factor, you know. We didn't get contributions from the people we needed to across the board on some level.
That's right. I do want to give credit. I mean, I thought DeRozan played a fantastic game. Uh-huh. It was kind of transcendent tonight. I mean, he shot horribly. It was a very Kobe-esque 10 of 32 for 30 points. But I thought his level of intensity and aggressiveness really, I think, helped calm that Toronto team down, right? Because that's a team that's just ready to... you know, implode upon themselves. And him coming out and at least scoring, even though he wasn't super efficient, but scoring 15 points or whatever he had in the first half was a great sign for them because he had struggled much of the series. And so if he's going, and Lowry, I mean, I said he played like trash earlier. He shot horribly, but I thought he did a good job of attacking the basket and creating things. I mean, I think he ended up with like 9 assists in this game.
Yeah,
but I thought DeRozan was he actually played like an all-star in this game, which he needed to do. It was on his shoulders. And then the difference in this game, and I think throughout the whole series, is that their bench was they get contributions from their bench, and the Pacers do not.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say shout out to Norman Powell. You know, we were talking about Miles Turner there. He was great tonight.
Okay. Well, he was the difference of the game. I mean, yeah. how many points did he score?
13. On yeah. 5 of 6 shooting and 3 of 4 from the range.
Yeah, those three-pointers were just killer.
They were all at critical times. And, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you talk about a, you know, trying to come back from a 16-point deficit. You take those 13 points away, it's a totally different game, you know. He was huge.
Yeah, so you look at the bench, the three guys that really got minutes. Corey Joseph just was scored, you know, 4 of 8 shooting. I mean, just 8 points, but I mean, he really controls the ball well. He controls the offense.
I thought, he was one of the differences of the series. He played fantastic every game, I thought. He was brilliant for them.
We've got Norman Powell, who we just mentioned, and then Bismack Biyombo, who was just, I mean, the only thing I can say bad about this guy is a bad free throw shooter. But besides that, I mean, you know, he's not a good offensive force, but I mean, he just kept getting offensive rebounds. And, you know, credit to him, you know, he's still taking them. He's getting those free throws. You know, I feel like he would earn those. I don't know how he does it, but he would earn those trips to the line. And, you know, he'd grab the ball and then he'd try to go back up and he'd flail his arms. And
you know, I don't we have no history with Toronto. We've never played them in the playoffs before. I honestly have no bad blood with them. I know that they are a franchise that desperately needed this second round win, this first round win to get to the second round. And if I had to lose to a team, I don't hate this team. There's no reason to, you know, it's Canada, it's the entire country that's rooting for this one team. I'm trying to look on the bright side here. Congratulations, Toronto. Good luck with Miami. I hope you beat the snot out of them.
Yeah. I thought you were going to follow that up with, but suck it.
No.
That's
no.
been a motif all season.
Yeah, I know. But I didn't end up hating any of their players in the series. I mean, you know, Valanciunas pisses me off because he destroyed us, but I'd love him on my team. If we could steal him away and have him be my center, I'd do it. You know, like, I just don't really dislike their team. They're, you know, they're good kids and they play hard. And, we should have won this series, even though we were the 7th seed. I really think we could have won this series, and that's really frustrating to me. But if we had to lose to a team, it's not a hated team. So, you know, whatever. Congratulations, Canada.
Yeah, I mean, Joey and I were talking offline beforehand about some of the silver linings here, right? And the first is that, and we'll do the autopsy, or you guys will do the autopsy next week, I guess, the full, you know, get in there and weigh the spleen and whatnot. But but the first is Paul George established himself as definitely a top 10 dude in the NBA, potentially a top 5 guy. You know, he's leading the playoffs in PER right now, in total points, in points per game. Just really reemerged on the national stage as a force in this league. And, by the way, he turns 26 tomorrow. So that's a nice bright future for the Pacers to look towards. And then the other thing is that Miles Turner, you know, he struggled in this game. But he did get 7 games of high important minutes in a playoff series as a 20-year-old rookie, which is only going to be informative towards his development as what I think will be a nice, very nice piece for this team going forward.
Well, and I would add to that. I thought during the season that Solomon Hill had played himself out of the league. And then he added himself a 3-point shot during the season. And this guy played our most crucial and useful minutes off the bench. I think this guy keeps a job, hopefully with us, which is fantastic.
He's going to get paid. The bummer is that the Pacers didn't extend his rookie contract.
Right,
so now
right.
He's a restricted free agent. So.
Sure, and this is the off season in which everybody's going to get paid a ton
so
of money.
Money.
So we might lose him, but it'd be nice to bring him back because he was great. I think we have. I mean, granted, we're going to do the autopsy. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I mean, I think you know, we've got some real issues with our bench. I think there's some guys in our starting lineup that are useful that probably would be really useful off our bench if we get some other players in the starting lineup. You know, the bench in a lot of ways lost this series for us, and that's something we need to fix in this offseason. That's on Larry. I don't know about Vogel's job safety. I assume it's secure, but you know, we were a 7 seed. We took him to 6-7 games, but you know, and there wasn't a lot of expectation coming into this season, but he made some critical errors, I thought, and that may go into the offseason thought process.
Yeah, I mean, I think Vogel is safe. I think he's a perfectly good coach. I think that he also learns from his mistakes, you know. You'd wish he'd preempt that, but sometimes you have to make the mistakes before you can learn, right? So, but to get back to Solo, I mean, I think if Solo, do we believe that Solo is now a 3-and-D guy?
Yeah, no, he's a 3-and-D who can play. I mean, he's Patrick Patterson, who also destroyed us in the first half. I thought.
Oh, he's better than Patrick Patterson.
Well, no, but I mean, what I'm saying, it's the same kind of player. He can play 3 and 4, play defense, and hit threes. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Which is what you need in this league.
Yeah.
I'd like to only call Patrick Patterson 2-Pat from now on.
Yeah, 2-Pat.
Okay, I'm sorry. Nice, yeah. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize.
2-Pat played well against us in the first half, and that hurt. Whatever. But yeah, no, I'm a big Solomon Hill fan. I hope he comes back.
I'm a little wary of his. I mean, I know he shot the 3-point shot super well over the last 3 weeks or so. We'll call it that. But as a career guy,
well, no. I mean, that's the thing. He's a young kid who I think he saw that he was seeing no minutes and probably stayed in the gym every day until he got that 3-point shot. I think that's what earned him the minutes and got it the confidence from the coaching staff to have him play in these crucial games down the stretch. He's always been able to play defense, you know, but he couldn't see the floor during the season. So shout out to him for working hard. And I think honestly deserved to be on the floor in a lot of those minutes.
Sure. I mean, he shot almost 60% from 3-point range in the playoffs. So,
suck it, Curry.
Take that, Kawhi Leonard.
Whoa!
But he was 32% for the season. So,
sure. But I mean, let's say he ends up being a 40% shooter or a 39% shooter. You know.
But that's my question: Is he a 40% 3-point shooter?
I think
if he is, then I
don't see any reason why he doesn't continue this streak forever.
I don't think he's going to shoot 60% forever. But
listen, I'm the stats guy.
Okay, gotcha.
That's my stat of the week. Solomon Hill, 60% forever.
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 Book it.
Yeah. Well, that was, I mean, yeah. Disappointing end to the season there, but I thought they showed some things. I thought they fought hard, and that's good. But in the end, it was a flawed team. We knew this team wasn't going super far. So,
I thought George Hill had a great game today. You know, I thought he was 8 of 11, 3 of 4 for 3. He was same kind of game, I think, as game 6. You know, just the 53%, the aggressive George Hill. Mm-hmm. But still not making a lot of mistakes. You know, he still, you know, ends up with just one turnover for the game. And
I thought Ellis played well for stretches as well. I mean, you know, there were a lot of guys that stepped up tonight. But yeah, it's tough to go into somebody else's building in game 7. You've got to play perfect, and we certainly didn't start out either the first or the third quarter prepared to play perfect basketball. I mean, you start the game with 3 turnovers, coming out a little flat. You start the third with, you know, like you ate a burrito at halftime, and you're just you're like a really big burrito, and now you're like sleepy and also thinking about a bathroom. I don't know.
They're in Canada. Maybe it was poutine.
Yeah, they had like a huge poutine spread at halftime. I feel like that's what happened.
Paul George was like, God, I'm so tired. I've played so many minutes. I'm just going to eat this plate of poutine. And then he gets out there in the third quarter and he's like, oh, I'm regretting this decision right away.
I regret this immediately.
And then it took until the fourth quarter before the poutine wore off, and then they started playing defense.
Yeah, they were. That defense was really impressive to me. They were just locked down at half court. Yeah. And just really force a lot of it, you know. I agree that they weren't really pressing hard against that. And like, if this game was 50 minutes long instead of 48, the Pacers would have won that by 15, you know.
and that might have been the case in Game 5 as well, you know. Sometimes you just, I don't know.
Game 5, we needed it to be shorter.
Okay, sure, but I was thinking
40-minute game.
Well, no, I was thinking if we forced overtime in the
sure.
If they would have rained out, you know, anytime after halftime, you get 50% of the game in.
Yeah,
it counts as it's official.
So, so is this the poutine loss? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, this is the DeRozan loss, I think.
Because he pushed Mahimi.
Yeah.
Shout out.
You know, we didn't see Luis Scola for about half this series, and he didn't play much.
Yeah, Casey finally figured out that Tupac should start instead of him.
Luis Scola.
So who you guys get? You guys picking Toronto over Miami?
I got Miami in probably.
You got Miami.
I guess so. Miami's a lower seed, right? So then I'll take Miami. Maybe six, I guess. But
I always take the team that beats me because I want to believe that I had a clear path to the finals. So I'm going to say Toronto in five.
You're insane. I'm going to say Miami's rounded in form. I'm going to say Miami in six. Toronto's just happy to be in the second round.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm still not scared of these guys. If we played them again, we would beat the hell out of them.
I think we're better than you think we are.
And the bigger thing is that Lowry is hurt. Lowry is not right.
Yo, he's really hurt. Yeah. It's not bursitis. What did they say? He had some sort of like sack in his elbow or something?
Yeah, I think it's bursitis. His bursa sack is
okay.
Inflamed.
I don't know how the body works.
You're not a doctor, sir.
No,
I'm not.
I tell you that a lot.
All right, so Joey and I are in Miami. You're on Toronto. We'll say that Harper likes Toronto.
In seven.
Sure.
Let's give him that.
I thought it was weird that you picked OKC over San Antonio Colson.
I didn't do it.
San Antonio demolished.
I picking the Spurs in five.
The Spurs in five, okay.
Man, that game one was kind of embarrassing.
Mm. Yeah, that was insane. God, the Spurs look good. You know what I realized? I looked at their roster the other day, and they have Kevin Martin. I didn't even realize that they have Kevin. They have like so many good guys on that team.
Anybody who's worth a damn and wanted out of their contracts is just like they just got all these title chasers who are, you know,
like worth in their having. Prime.
Can I get a shout out for picking the Blazers to get to the second round?
No, dude, you don't because Chris Paul and Blake Griffin both ended their seasons on the same night. So no, you don't get a shout out for that. You would have had to call the injuries for me to give you any props for that. I feel bad, you know. You'll listen to the tape. I'm a well-known Clipper hater, but I didn't want this, you know.
Sure. Who you got in that series, Joe? Should be noted that Golden State won Game One by 40 or whatever it was.
Oh, I mean,
without Steph Curry.
Yeah, I mean, even without Curry. Warriors are going to win that one. Then I probably, five, I would say.
Yep.
First game back at home. They'll split one of those, but that's it. Sorry,
yeah.
Nico.
I think it might take them six, but I think and I'll say that just to be different a little bit. But I think Stotts is a good coach. He'll make some adjustments, and that team is super good. And then Harper, I thought it was weird. Harper had Blazers in four, so that doesn't make any sense. And then the last one is Cavs, Who are the Cavs going to play?
The Hawks.
Cavs, Hawks.
Game one is tomorrow night.
That series hasn't started yet.
So you, do you want to wait till after the first game to make our pick?
I would like to have more data before I make my prediction. I think the Cavs are super good. There's nobody in the East that can beat the Cavs. I'm going to say Cavs in five. I'll give Atlanta one game.
I'm just going to call a sweep now.
You're going to call a sweep. It's a fair prediction.
I think that they're just going to run through them. Like, again, like they did last year.
I'm going to go Atlanta in six. I'll give them a couple games. Why not? You know what's
you're going to go Atlanta?
No. I'm sorry. Atlanta wins two games. And I was reading Harper's prediction. He called Atlanta in six, which I was surprised by. But I'm saying that Cleveland's going to win in six. Yeah.
Those two teams did play last year. And what did it go? Obviously, the Cavs won, but...
I think it was five or six.
I can't remember.
It wasn't a sweep, and it wasn't seven.
I don't remember much of that series, even though it was the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, nobody likes Atlanta.
Everybody knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
It was congratulations, Atlanta, on winning 60 games. You're losing in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Wasn't that the series where Dellavedova was just diving at people's knees and stuff?
Yeah, directly at the knees.
So there's bad blood between these teams, so that could be interesting to watch.
I'm excited for...
And then also LeBron James will just... He's in beast mode.
Keep being the best player in the world, because that's what he does. My God.
I'm excited for potential, and I'll just go ahead, I mean, with my picks. I've called this the Miami-Cleveland Eastern Conference Finals, which I said to Catherine,
you
know, that's what I think is going to happen. And she's like, oh, I'd watch that. I'd watch every one of those games. And I was like, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
It would be interesting.
Well, you know, we're all just waiting for the actual championship, which is San Antonio versus Golden State, right? I mean, how exciting is that going to be?
Yeah, I just want everybody to be healthy. I want Curry to be healthy.
Yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back by then.
Hopefully.
Well, they said they're going to reevaluate him 2 weeks after the injury. So,
yeah, they interviewed him during the game today, and he seemed super confident. But of course, he did. I mean, all players seem. I'm sure he feels like he could go out there and play right now. But I just don't want them to rush him back and him to get hurt again. If that, you know, I don't know. I've had that injury before. It's easy to retweak. It seems. Especially in a game where you're cutting a lot and putting a lot of torque on your knee. So it's better to be cautious. But then again, I guess if somehow Portland wins game two, maybe they bring him back super quick.
Maybe.
Because they need to.
Twerk on the knee was the name of a band in high school. Did you say twerk or... Tweak. Twerk. Oh, okay.
I don't think twerking existed when you were in high school.
Thank God.
Otherwise, you never would have graduated.
I don't know what that means. Because I would have taken up twerking lessons.
Yeah. Well, we've got a new...
Skipped class.
We had some new band name submissions this week. The Guest Room Kitties. I like that one.
Which is my favorite one of all time.
You like that one?
Yeah, I do. I feel like that's actually should be the name of a band.
I think Beard Crabs is still my favorite.
I liked Aaron's Bang Wagon. The Yawning Yawns. And I liked mine. Just called Sploosh. Oh no, that was Creme de Caca. I'm sorry. I titled the picture Sploosh. The chuckle inducers. And Snickerpoodle, which I love. That was mine.
Snickerpoodle's a good one.
Oh,
all right. Well, I'd preview next week's Pacers games, but I can't.
Yeah, you bummed me out. You said no more Pacers games until October.
So it, even more demoralizing, Harper is coming into Indianapolis for UndebeatedCon whatever number next weekend.
That is demoralizing.
Yeah, we would have had second round games for him to go to if we'd won this game. That would have been fun. But
I don't know if you were on the call earlier, but my plan is to we'll go to some Fever games and we'll watch some NBA playoff basketball.
Oh yeah, no, we'll definitely figure out how to do it. We'll do some live pods. We'll have some fun. I'm hoping to show you my new house if it's done by then. We'll see what's happening. But
are you building it right now?
Well, no, I'm trying to close on it. We'll see what happens.
That's like in a week.
I know.
You never bought a house.
I've already had the appraisal. I just get it. You know, whatever. I get the information back tomorrow. So.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
We should sit courtside and heckle.
What? Tamika Catchings? No, you don't want to heckle her.
Not,
she's awesome.
Why would we? No.
Don't be mean to her. God, you're going to
heckle the Dallas
spoof.
Storm.
Did you say spoof?
Yeah, the Dallas spoof. Right?
That's you are not marketing, my friend.
The Dallas Flatirons. What are they? Dallas.
Cattle
Dallas
calls.
Dallas Pitchforks? No. Dallas Rangers.
Dishwashers.
No, that's the baseball team.
Bungee jumpers.
Just go to google.com.
The Dallas Pushback Tugs.
Do you think Cuban owns this team?
I don't. Probably.
The Dallas Wings.
Wings?
Wings.
Okay. Like as flying wings?
Like the TV show.
Like Wingman?
Like the...
So is it a merge of the
wing
TV
woman?
Show Dallas and the TV show Wings?
Yeah.
That would be a weird mashup, I would think.
It would be a weird mashup.
I don't remember much about that. I remember watching that show. It was set like in the airport, right? There were some pilots.
Yeah. Small Wings, airport. Yeah.
Well, it looks like they beat the Fever today. 108-90. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, they didn't.
No. The opposite of what I said.
Didn't you go? So,
no,
you there?
I couldn't make it.
It's exhibition, so it is.
Why couldn't you make it?
No, I had to cut the grass and stuff.
Oh, boo.
Yeah. You can cut my...
Did you do it while your neighbor was podcasting?
No. I should. Well, gentlemen, anything else? Any old business? Any new business? Any demoralizing business?
I'm really sad.
Yeah, me too.
I gotta say, I didn't expect this season to go much longer than a first round series, but when it actually happens, it's kind of sucks. That's for sure.
Yep. I mean, I guess, did we exceed expectations? We got to the seventh game of the first round. We were the seventh seed.
I would say we met expectations, at least on this podcast, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, like, yeah. We talked about...
We all kind of had us as a 45-win team.
Yeah.
That might have a shot to upset somebody in the first round.
Yeah, that's kind of what we said.
Basically what we got.
Yeah, okay, good call. So maybe I should feel less bad. We are what we thought we were.
Yeah, exactly.
You know why I've never heard of the Dallas Wings before? They were the Tulsa Shock and they moved. Like, this is their first year in Dallas.
Wait, the Tulsa Shock was a thing?
Yeah. That was the
team. You don't remember that fantastic franchise that was in the league for, I'm guessing, 4 years?
Five, two. So it was the Detroit Shock from 98 to 2009. Then they moved to the Tulsa and became the Tulsa Shock into 2010 to 2015. And then they moved to the Dallas and became the Wings.
Why are they the Wings? That's super weak. I just got to say, like, you could have been Dallas anything.
Are they owned by American Airlines?
They are owned based in by Dallas. Bill Cameron and Chris Christian.
Who are Chris Christie? He should have been called the Dallas Bridge.
The Chris Christian.
Oh, okay, sorry. Chris Christie Slam.
Chris Christie Slam. Did you guys see Ted Cruz make his Hoosiers reference and touch the 10-foot-high basketball ring?
Oh, my goodness. It's the basketball ring.
Come on.
Did you also see that John Boehner called him Lucifer incarnate?
In the flesh.
In the flesh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's pretty solid. I mean, once he calls it the basketball ring, I'm not, inclined to disagree.
I just like it. It's really funny to me when politicians pretend to be human beings and just get it wrong. It's hilarious to me.
Man, the Dallas Wings have 3 titles in their franchise history. I guess they bought the history.
They keep moving?
Yeah. They had 2003, 2006, and 2008.
The Detroit Shock were pretty good. I don't know how they lost their franchise.
Yeah, that was when Bill Laimbeer was coaching them, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Did they sell them off to pay for better water? What happened?
Clearly not.
Because that plan didn't work.
All right, get us out of here, Joey.
Yeah, we're just procrastinating the end of this.
I know. I just want a podcast forever.
I don't want it to end. Well, we can still we've got a podcast through the playoffs. We got to do all our a postmortem next week.
We're doing I'll wait till Harper's back on. But I like doing the endorsing other teams. Everyone knows who I endorse.
No, yeah, there's no.
I guess everyone knows already, so we don't need to even say it. Let's just say,
why are you such an Atlanta fan? That's what I'm saying.
It's the Raptors.
That's pronounced Hotlanta, and it's because I like bottle service so much.
I've heard that about you.
Who doesn't?
People on the budget. We should go. It's late. Until next time, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message. You can review us on iTunes. It really helps new listeners find our show. A t-shirt's for sale. You could look good over the summer. Some nice American Apparel Undebeatable shirts.
And for a once and always coach, Bobby Sklenard, who wasn't on the road to call this game, and I'm sure that he was sitting at home in his salmon suit, being sad because he couldn't sing. Turn out the lights. The party's over for at least the off season.
I wish you had a song for Austin Crozier too, because he does the road games.
Turn out the lights. Party's over.
That's pretty close.
I didn't realize that his voice was that weird.
He does have kind of a weird voice. It's gotten more normal over time. But when he was first playing for the Pacers, it was kind of Evan Turner-esque.
No, I agree.
Also, I watched Goran Dragic be interviewed after his big game, and I was like, holy crap, he is so Eastern Bloc. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
He's sort of like, I had a good game. I'm very proud of myself and my country. Thank you.
I like there's Jeff Van Gundy called him Drogan Goric at one point. And I was like, that seems more apt.
It does. It creeped me out that he had such a kind of scary, like.
Yeah, because he seems like a nice, mild-mannered guy.
He does. But then he sort of seemed like a Bond villain when he started talking at the.
Yep.
Yeah. Post conference. Oh, God, we so should have won this game.
We should have won this series.
Yeah, and then we would have had more podcasting to do.
It's going to be the same amount of podcasts, I think.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Meh.
Meh. Meh. What? Napa know-how. Napa
guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.
Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.